that middle interview.
Hey, hey, hey. As Fat Albert used to say, welcome back to our podcast and your podcast, of course. That Metal Interview Podcast with your host, James, and we welcome you once more. And to all you death metal fanatics, we have a special treat. We have a guest for this episode by the name of Enrico Cettino from the band Hideous Divinity, Century Media Records. And Enrico stops by and talks about the brand new CD of the band Hideous Divinity by the name of LV426. It's an EP, and you guys should check it out, man. Some crazy death metal stuff. It came out April 23rd of this year, 2021. It's a 3-song deal, you know, but it's just some crazy stuff. There's a cover on there, a Coheed and Cambria cover, so I'm not going to say the title. That way you guys can check it out. So anyways, they got a single out, and a video and single out in the market. You guys can check out. It's on YouTube and all that. So if you're not familiar with Hideous Divinity, you will be after this episode is over. And I'm going to show you guys their latest single, should I say. Here is Chest Burst. This is their latest single release video, music video that is. Let's check it out, man. Hideous Divinity. Here's some Chest Burst by none other than Hideous Divinity, That Metal Interview Podcast.
We'll be right back.
now, isn't that some crazy, crazy badass stuff? Some crazy, crazy death metal that I call that death metal. I'm not sure what you guys would call that, under what genre it might fall under metal, but to me that's death metal. It's some badass death metal. Song by the name of Chest Burst. You can stream it now, and it's available just about everywhere. Century Media Records presents Hideous Divinity and their latest EP, LV-426. LV-426, that's their latest EP. It came out April 23rd of this year. You guys should check it out, man. Give it a chance. And if you're not familiar with the band, check it out, man. Give it a chance. And they got a couple albums under their belt. They got, in 2019, they released an album by the name of Simulacrum. By the name of Simulacrum. I believe that's the correct pronunciation. Simulacrum. And then before that, 2017, they had a release by the name of Advenience. And then in 14, they released Cobra Verde. In 2012, Obeisance Rising, that is. And these guys are a badass technical brutal death, I would say. They're from Rome, Lazio, Rome. And these guys have been active since 07, give or take. And we have Mr. Enrico, the guitar player. Well, one of the guitar players, Enrico Schettino, is going to talk to us about Hideous Divinity and their latest single music video, Chest Burst, and the future of the band and the past of the band. So you guys check it out, man. Enjoy our interview with Enrico of Hideous Divinity. Enjoy. Your newest single, Chest Burst, new EP coming out. LV-426. What can you tell us about this EP?
Well, it was something that was made in the middle of the second wave, at least the European second wave of the pandemic, and I spent a lot of time listening to the movie score of the Aliens movie, the second Alien movie, so to say. And of course, I was already in love with it, and I fell in love even more. And I thought I was trying to, I was listening to it a lot, and I was fantasizing about rearranging it into some sort of a like brutal key, so to say. Well, our musical genre, and it actually worked very well because the soundtrack has fantastic chord progressions, which was that sort of a cinematic death metal. I wish one day I'm going to be able to earn this label for my music, and it worked. Actually, it worked super cool first attempt. Therefore, the next step was kind of obvious to think about a new release that was based on some alien-related concept, and I thought that's it. It's going to be a great idea, and. I mean, I'm really a slow writer, and all things considered, this EP came out super fast. I think because a lot of the pressure that you have when you are writing and recording a full length is it can be really tricky. So knowing that it was going to be an EP that's considered, at least in metal, some sort of a minor release, I think it helped us a lot not feeling too much pressure and actually enjoying the whole process, and that's exactly what happened. So it was something really that we really enjoyed to do in the middle of a really weird time for us all, and we just enjoyed the process. We felt like we were living in some sort of a normal. Like a lapse of time, because usually what you do is you record and then shortly afterwards you start promoting the thing by playing live. Of course, the second part was not possible, but it was cool to enter the studio again. It made us feel good. It made us feel like we were that nothing changed, so to say.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at rootsmusicrambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Well, it sounds badass. It's you guys did some very good work there.
Thank you very much.
For those people that don't know, how did the band start and where is the band from?
Well, the band is physically from Italy. We're all, except one, we're all living in the same town, except our guitar player who lives a bit farther north, but still Italy. I founded the band when I was actually living in Norway, and that was 14 years ago. It was basically me trying to find people to play together, but no one would pay attention to me. But given the fact that I'm Italian, of course, and I was living in Oslo, in Norway, I started advertising my new band as Norwegian death metal. And that worked so well because people were like, oh, this is so cool, Norwegian death metal. You can really feel it, that it's Norwegian. It was not. It was just an Italian guy putting music together, living in Norway. So that's actually the funny part. So there was actually no physical lineup until I moved back to Italy, and we released a new demo. We got under contract with a unique leader, and we released our first album in 2012. We released three albums with Century Media. With Unique Leader. Then the fourth album that came out in 2019, Simulacrum, was the first album with Century Media. And now we just released an EP. Soon we'll start thinking about a new full length release. But I would like to say to you, if all these big decisions aren't affected by what's going on right now in the planet. I mean, I've seen yesterday a live video of a concert in Tampa of these sites.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently in Florida, people are just back like in clubs and playing gigs, which is awesome. I mean, I really envy you guys so much. In Europe, we are still vaccinating people that are over 65 years old. So it's I would say, except the UK, things are going extremely slow. We planned a tour for the end of October with Aborted and the Acacia Strain here in Europe. The tour has been postponed to the second, say, between March and April next year. So now I think it is kind of official. I received news from the booking agency this morning. So, but we all knew that. To organize something in late fall in Europe at the time, which means 1 year ago, it seems like the correct thing to do, but things are going actually slower than expected, and it's actually a very unpleasant discussion that I really don't want to get into. But if we compare how things have been done, say putting aside US, UK, and Europe, it's a bit sad that things were handled. Anyway, so this is more or less the story of the band. We released four albums. We had the chance to tour Europe many times, and we toured the US for two times. Once with Aborted and Cryptopsy in 2019, the second one in 2020, just before this whole mess just exploded worldwide. I mean, we played our last gig in LA February 28th, supporting Vader and Abysmal Dawn. And I mean, if we only knew that. We actually came back home the next day, and we found like a totally deserted airport. Then we understood that things were gonna be serious. In fact, but if you think about it, we're one of the very few bands that can say that completed a tour in 2020. I mean, that's some sort of an award. I think we deserve some kind of award for that.
Right. Well, that is an accomplishment. Yeah, a lot of bands had to stop in the middle of the tour and and just stop, you know, because of the pandemic and all that.
Yeah,
so
that's
very cool that you finished your tour. I think Testament did a tour also in Europe, and they finished their thing with Death Angel, I believe, and some Bay Area thrash tour, I think. And so
I can't recall. Yeah, I remember more unlucky bands, like, for example, Defeated Sanity, that just landed and the whole thing exploded after three or four dates. They were touring with, I think, Beneath the Massacre and Origin. And it must have been terrible for them, because day by day, they didn't know what was going to happen the next day. I mean, after all, we had a rough time in Italy, but we were at home. We were not in the middle of a tour without knowing if we could travel back home. When would that be? Not to mention all the expenses, because every time that you go to the US, you pay for a visa, you pay for many, many things. So for some bands, it has been catastrophic. I know that. The metal, say, metal audience has been great, supporting this band, buying their merch, and doing everything that was possible just to cover some of the costs. But it has been really, really hard. And when the world pandemic came out, we had to cancel a tour that we had programmed for March, April, together with actually being the direct supporting act of Terrorizer, a legendary band. And we were so thrilled, because we were missing Europe. We didn't do a tour in Europe since 2018. So we were really looking forward to that. Of course, everything was just erased. So there was no band that was more unlucky than the other. We were all in the same sort of a post-apocalyptic ground, like... Everyone had to stop. Everyone. So I guess that made it perhaps less painful. Like at the very beginning, it looked like Italy was the biggest problem, was the most affected country. And there was some time that really, really thought we are going to cancel our participation from the tour, because Italy is going to be put like in quarantine, like some sort of a Resident Evil city. But then when the word pandemic came out officially, we understood that it was not only a problem with Italy. We had a massive number of victims, mostly because of a very old population, and how things were handled in the beginning that was awful, awful. So I understand that in those early days, it looked like Italy was... first it was China, and then it was Italy. Uh-huh. Oh boy, now it seems like ages ago.
Yeah. So in the U.S., there's still a lot of cases, but they seem to be going down numbers, and some clubs are opening up. And well, you saw D-Side on YouTube, and some bands are playing. Clubs are opening up, but I'm pretty sure Europe will catch up. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure the world will come back to normal very soon. So
I guess. Now it's all about the waiting, try to stay sane in the meantime, to stay healthy. At the same time, let's just face it, the entertainment industry in the US has a totally different value, a totally different weight compared to entertainment industry, for example, in Italy. Because, of course, all concerts were cancelled and all live clubs were closed, and probably they all going to go bankrupt, and they didn't see one single euro from the public administration. At the same time, people kept going to churches. Now, it has nothing to do with what I believe, with what anybody believes, but this is a fact, and it makes you think.
Uh-huh.
The entertainment industry in the US and in the UK, it's a really big part of the GDP. So I do understand the efforts that were made with the vaccines. So this big sector could be up and running again, and I'm really happy. I mean, of course, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that there's not going to be, because of this, another way. But if vaccines work, and they do work, and I think over 140 million people have been vaccinated in US or something like that, so almost half of the population, or maybe more. I'm not updated, but it seems like a lot has been done so far, and it is fair that you see the results.
Yes, that sounds correct. Hopefully we will see Hideous Divinity in the U.S. for a tour, you know, so hopefully it'll be soon, you know, so let's
that'll be great.
I have a question about, At what age did you know you wanted to be in a metal band?
I think that was, you know, there's always that episode when a friend of yours forgets the awfully recorded tape of Pantera's of Power of Sepultura's Chaos CD at your home, and all of a sudden you discover an entire world. I think it was what happened with me. In the mid-90s, when I got really passionate about music, it was the time of Roadrunner Records. So artists like Fear Factory and Machine Head, those were my teen years idols, and that's something that I will never betray that memory, because I remember when The Manufacturer came out of Fear Factory, it was like, whoa, this is everything was so cool, everything
awesome,
was so perfect, and the music was just I found hard to believe that human beings could play that, you know, with that, with such speed, with such aggression.
Yeah.
Then Roots came out in 96 again.
Yeah.
Which was another record that actually changed. It was a game changing record. In good or bad, it depends if you are an old school Sepultura fan or not. It is undeniable though that Roots really set the, you know, set a new track for extreme music. And then, of course, I kept on, you know, listening to this music. Then I went into things heavier. And actually, when I founded my first band, that is Hour of Penance, that was 98. And that was the beginning of the what you could call the renaissance of death metal, strictly speaking, death metal.
Okay.
So many good records came out between, say, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, Nile came out, Hate Eternal came out, Cryptopsy came out with their own sound, and I think I benefited from that. I couldn't get enough of this music. It was just, it made sense to me. I thought, this is what I want to do. Hopefully, one day I'm going to be as good as these people. And 20 years later, I'm still here, and I managed to tour with Cryptopsy. I managed to tour with Cannibal Corpse. I managed to tour with Crisium, with Cattle Decapitation. I'm just a lucky guy.
Yes. Oh yeah. Well, you're lucky. Okay. Because you guys have a record label, and you have records out in the market. So to me, that's lucky. That's awesome.
It is. One should always focus on that, even in my grumpy moments when I'm not happy because we're not getting enough views or enough listeners on Spotify. I should take a deep breath and concentrate on what's good, look back, and there is plenty of things to be satisfied with. So I try not to be too much of a bitchy person.
So speaking of influential albums in your life, who are your influences on the guitar? Who do you look up to? Who are your heroes?
Oh boy, that's such a broad question. I started when I was really a kid, and it was all about Pink Floyd's David Gilmour or Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin and Pete Townshend from The Who. Then, of course, as music changed, I would always find new guitar players that will teach me something new. And then I fell in love, of course, with Dan McDarrell and Dino Cazares, if you think about Fear Factory. And,
yeah.
And nowadays, I still acknowledge these people to be true innovators. And still so much. I mean, if you care to search around to discover, you'll find people in extreme music that are still trying to change the game. I could mention, for example, Eric Rutan, just to talk about someone that recently concentrated a lot of attention, because, I mean, after all that he did in his life, he joins a band like Cannibal Corpse,
yeah.
They've been doing records for the past 30 years. 3-2-1, he fits in perfectly, writes what's perhaps the most brutal tune of the new album, and it's sometimes I look at a recruiter and I think it's everything that I would like to be. And it has been like this for the past 10 to 20 years and still is. So,
oh, yeah.
A lot of people.
Eric Rutan is the perfect fit for Cannibal Corpse in my eyes. And
absolutely.
I think a lot of metalheads think the same way. I think he is like the perfect candidate for them, right? I mean, he's just awesome history with Hate Eternal and all that. So, yep, I agree with you.
He brought his own sound, but it's still, like Alex Webster said in an interview, it's not like he brought his sound that he didn't adapt. He did something that was totally in line with Cannibal Corpse's sound, but it was so clever, so good to do something that would be Cannibal Corpse, but in his own style, without being something, say, totally different. Like, you listen to the album, you're like, whoa, what is this? This track has no sense compared to the others. It's not like that. I mean, I've been listening since Friday, when the album came out. I've been listening to the last Cannibal Corpse album a lot, and it's like, whoa. I mean, it just brought new life. If you think about it, band doing records, this kind of music for the past 30 years to come out with an album, which I think is the 15th studio record, and still sound fresh, not everybody can do that.
It's incredible what these guys do. I mean, Violence Unimagined, I believe the record's called, very, very
amazing records. And they are the most amazing, the most lovable human beings. We toured with them in 2016, and it was, oh boy, it was. That is still, to me, my favorite tour, the best tour of my life. It was in 2016, supporting Cannibal Corpse and Christian. It was really a dream tree. I don't remember having so many fanboy moments like on this tour. I mean, I literally watched the entire Cannibal Corpse set list for 26 days, 26 nights straight. And, and I was so happy.
Wow. I'm a fan myself, so I would have melted if I was there. So how is it touring? How is it touring with Cannibal Corpse and Christian? I mean, that's just an incredible lineup. Hideous Divinity and you guys. I mean, Christian and Cannibal. I mean, how was that tour?
It was amazing. It was amazing because Cannibal Corpse, first of all, the fact that they picked us up, because that's what they do, just showing how amazing they are. Each and every tour they give. I would say that they give the opportunity to a band that they like, especially Alex Webster. He is a living metal encyclopedia, and he's still so passionate about this music that it's unbelievable. And well, we toured Europe. We went to places where Cannibal Corpse didn't play for quite some time. Like, we played Finland. We played the Baltic countries. Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and I've seen the craziest things. I mean, almost every venue was a sold out, but it was not, say, a club. We're talking about 600 people venues, and they were sold out. Not
to mention
Christian in Germany. They are so big, it was unbelievable. There is this club in Leipzig in eastern Germany called Hellraiser. A super big venue, and it was one of those gigs that you could actually tell that the crowd went more wild with Christian than with Cannibal Corpse, which I didn't believe that it was possible. But that's because German metalheads, they are extremely into if a band looks true and metal, like if what they communicate is to be genuinely metal badasses, will love it immediately. And that's what Christian are. Christian is like the Brazilian brutal version of Motorhead. It's impossible not to like them, not to understand how genuine, how rough, raw and passionate they are. So, I mean, they are so big in Germany, it's unbelievable. It's because you look at them and you think, it doesn't get more metal than Christian.
Yep, they're incredible. Christian, they're from Brazil. Oh, man, I'm a fan myself, so that must have been a tour right there. Wow. So speaking of Hideous Divinity, Man, you guys are brutal, man. This is the, for people that like brutal metal. That's, you guys are the band to listen to. And so what would you say the genre is? How would you categorize your band?
Well, for some people, we are still falling into the genre of technical death metal, which I find a bit difficult sometimes to understand, because to me, technical death metal is, especially today, it belongs to bands like Obscura, like Archspire, uh-huh. Bands that, if we're talking about guitar style, it's something that I'm not even able to tune the guitar of these people. I mean, this is something that goes beyond. I will not be able to do what they do in a million years. So I choose a more direct approach simply because I'm not that technical. And to me, after a while, it gets a bit of a showcase. I'm more interested perhaps in the song. To me, before we were talking about guitar players, to me, a guitar player like John McEntee of Incantation is more a thing that the ultra technical monster. And don't get me wrong, these people are monsters with a guitar. But I would probably get bored after the second or third song. Ironically enough, I play in what is being called, what is called a technical death metal band, but maybe it's more about the structure. I'm not that good as guitar player, so I concentrate more on the structure rather than in how fast and how sweepy and how many notes I can play per beat. So
yeah,
that's what you mean. I would just say death metal, and then nowadays you can find everything and the opposite of everything under this label. You just listen to the band if you like it. If you see some sort of some sort of a structure, some sort of a, you see the aggressiveness, but you also see some sort of a atmosphere, some sort of a epicness. Can I say that? I don't know if that belongs to us, but we just try not to do the same old thing record after record after record. I understand if you're not that much into the genre may look a bit the same, but trust me, it's as a songwriter, that's what I try to do. So I would say death metal, and then you put as close to anyone that you like, as long as you like. He does the Divinity Word. I'm happy with that.
So what is your favorite song to play live?
Oh, favorite song. I should look at, looking at the last, I always like how our gigs start, because it's always about making a statement. You know, when we play live, we are like 30 minutes, and we have to catalyze the attention of people. Most of them, they don't know us just right away. So I always like our set list start with the first few songs from our last full length, Delusion Centuries and the Unbounder. I think it's a right way to show, like, you start slapping people in the faces, but also, you know, try to catch their attention with the music, not only with the pa 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 pam. And this song set got both, because, like I said, when we had the luck to support these bands, there was a huge part of the crowd that wasn't there for us, so they didn't know us. No. So in order to introduce yourself to these people, you have to play your better cards at the very beginning and trying to make it, diversified, try to make it interesting as you go along this 30-minute set list. And if you do this right, then you go to the merch stand at the end of the concert, and the best thing that you can hear is... guys, I loved your music so much, I didn't have an idea of who you were. So that's the reason why you tour, because they're going to come back, especially in the US. If they like you, they're going to come back the second time. We toured with Aborted in 2019. A lot of people liked us. We played in the same venues 1 year later with Vader and Abysmal Dawn, and people came back and they told us, "You remember me? I saw you 1 year ago. You were awesome. You're awesome tonight too." And that's why you tour, and that's especially the reason why I love to tour the U.S. so much.
Yeah, it's real important to gain new fans. I believe it's always good to grow your following and to make the band bigger. And like you say, you know, they'll come back and check you guys out, and the crowd only gets bigger. You know, that's awesome.
Exactly.
So, what's on your bucket list? What's on your wish list? What is it that Enrico? What are your plans for the future?
Well, plans for the future is, of course, to be back on stage. It doesn't matter where. It just matters when. I just hope it's not going to happen too late in 2022, because that is, you know, if we want to keep our expectations low, we should already look at 2022. As in my bucket list, I would love to tour South America, Mexico and South America, because fans are really insane over there. It would be really good to do that. It would be, of course, necessary to do that by doing that with some sort of a reliable booking agency, because the problems about those places, unfortunately, is a lot of, say, not very serious promoters. We heard terrible tales of bands that maybe got to airports in, they traveled all the way from the US or from Europe, and they landed in, I don't know, Colombia or Peru or other places, and then there was absolutely nothing, so the whole thing was a scam. But I've seen, for example, reliable booking agencies like the one that organized, for example, tours for Immolation. And I think the moment you get there, you see something. I had that sort of a... I witnessed something like that when I toured Ukraine and Russia in 2013. It really was an event. The fact that you were playing in that town, it was really an event. And people were insane. I mean, people in a pre-pandemic era, people got really spoiled in Italy. Bands touring more and more and more. I remember 21 years ago, I had to take the train to go to Milan from Rome, which is not exactly a small town, to see Morbid Angel.
Oh wow!
But that was a time that belonged to, you know, to the prehistoric age, because they will only tour Europe and they will only tour Northern Italy because of logistic reasons. But then when the record industry changed, bands were forced to add more and more and more and more dates. So you had bands like Suffocation playing in my town like every other year, which was totally unthinkable when I was a teenager. So yeah, I would really love to play in places, like I said, like South America or Central America, where a live gig can turn into the most dangerous and the most unforgettable experience of your life.
Yes, that's for sure. So give us your best gig and give us your worst gig.
Oh, best gig. Oh. Best gig. I think we always played great shows in Florida. And the crowd were really insane, with this temperature that was like, I don't know, 80 degrees with 99% humidity, like when we play in Orlando. But that was, every time we play in Florida, it's amazing. I remember also, when we get invited to festivals in Netherlands, like the Stonehenge, we played there two times. The once was interrupted by a hurricane, and the second one was the next, was the following year. And everybody would remember us because it was the band that was playing when the hurricane came. So it was to play without an hurricane, and we really enjoyed that. We really enjoyed that. It was a super, blue sky, and that was a cool gig. My worst gig was... There is no such thing as a worst gig, except a gig where everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
But I remember once we played in a festival in Switzerland, and we were playing the after party. The problem was that the after party was, like I said, at 1 a.m. or something, 1:30 a.m. We were playing in Switzerland. It was an open air. And even though it was the end of summertime, it was on top of the mountain. So I never felt so cold while playing while playing on, and of course, as a guitar player, I think I played the worst concert of my life because my fingers, my left hand fingers, were literally frozen. They were literally, you know, stuck to the guitar neck.
Really?
And I thought, okay, best case scenario, the performance is going to suck. Worst case scenario, I'm going to get injured for life. And I don't know, for some reason. And then we even decided to play some sort of an encore, a song that no one remembers. So it looked like some sort of a weird jam session. I'm like, oh, get me out of here. And I drove like 14 hours my van to get to this. My goodness. I want to go home. But other than that, I think we've always been... every time, especially now, every time we had a chance to play live, for some reason it was a night mm-hmm. to remember. So especially like I said, right now, when all memories, I'm in this sort of a, you know, floating ocean of nostalgia and stuff. I cannot honestly think about a bad gig because I miss them so much.
That's awesome. Cool stories. Can you, would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast, Hades Divinity fans? Anything you want to say to your fan base?
Thank you so much for listening. And now more than ever, I really wish to see you guys very soon on stage. I'm counting the days. Let's just try to, you know, to stay healthy and to stay mentally sane. And I'm sure we're going to see each other, and it's going to be awesome when it's going to be from the stage again. So see you soon. I mean it.
Thank you, Enrico. Thank you for making time.
Thank you very much, James.
Support Hades Divinity. Support them. Check it out, man. Stream, download, purchase their albums. Century Media Records, of course. That's the label they are under. And their latest EP album, you guys can find it just about anywhere. It's called LV426. It's a 3-song EP. It's just killer, man. It's just sick. It's very sick, the way they say it. And there's other albums out there in the market of Hades Divinity. So we thank Enrico one more time. We thank him for spending a little bit of time with us talking about Hades Divinity and a little bit of information about the band and the band members and this and that. So don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe, follow us, like us, and all that stuff. You know what to do. Ring the bell, subscribe. And don't forget to keep it metal.